The E-Commerce Fuel Podcast is sponsored by Shopify, the platform I personally use to host my own store. Why did I move to them from Magento, who I had been on for years? Well, Shopify has an enormous ecosystem of developers and apps. Their template framework and API are really well architected, and they're a hosted service, so I can focus on growing my business versus spending hours worrying about server issues. And best of all, they make me more money. Our business experienced an enormous 41% conversion increase after we migrated. Check them out at Shopify.com. Welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping six and seven figure store owners build amazing companies, outgun the competition, and make more money. I'm your host and fellow e-commerce entrepreneur, Andrew Udarian. Hey guys, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in today, this day after Thanksgiving, if you're in the United States, and of course, Black Friday, the probably the craziest, at least in the U.S., and I'm guessing a couple other places too, craziest shopping day of the year, for better or for worse. And today, I'm going to do something just a little bit different, take a little bit of a break from the live episode, but wanted to bring you a talk from E-Commerce Fuel Live in Nashville about a couple months ago, month and a half ago, from Drew Sinaki. He gave a talk on customer segmentation and hunting whales, and really, how do you find those customers that can drive an exponentially larger percent of your business than you otherwise would expect? How can you find them and focus on them and really grow by delivering just incredible value to them? And that's what he's going to talk about. So we'll take a break from the live show this week. It's a great talk from Drew. Hope you have a wonderful post-Thanksgiving shopping weekend. I'm guessing a lot of us are probably in preparation still for Cyber Monday coming up. So hopefully that goes well for you. And I'm going to go ahead and let Drew take it from here. We'll see you next week with another live episode. And I'll talk to you then.
Let me start with a question here. And it's, is your business growing as fast as it could be? I was in the Navy before I started my business, so the obligatory Navy shot. This is what I'm going to talk about today. If you're not segmenting and targeting your customers, you're wasting time and energy and unnecessary work, and you're really leaving money on the table. What I tried to do here is kind of distill all my knowledge of e-commerce. I started my store in 2003 into this one presentation. You guys are, kind enough to give me an hour of your time. And so I think this is really one of the more important things you can do. I find that when I came to conferences like this, I'd leave and I would be both motivated and stressed out at the same time. Motivated, obviously, because you meet a lot of inspiring people, but stressed because I would have a laundry list of things I needed to do. It's like SEO, I need to do this, conversion rate optimization, AdWords, like, and all, every hack and tip and trick I wanted to try really kind of stressed me out. And I think the answer to that is that I call that tactical maneuver hell. But to get out of tactical maneuver hell, you sort of have to, there are some strategies that let you prioritize what to focus on. And, it's basically the 80-20 rule. But I'm here to argue that if you're going to focus on one thing that kind of brings all these different tactics together, it's going to be hunting whales. Like your best customers are your whales. And you should do everything you can to kind of build your business around those best customers. So before I go into that anymore, a little bit about who I am. My name's Drew Sinaki. Andrew basically told you who I am. I just rebranded my blog from drewsinaki.com to Nerd Marketing because nobody could spell Sinaki. And I'm on Twitter at drewsinaki.com. There are three reasons I think I'm sort of relevant to, I'm probably relevant to your experience. The first is I was in your shoes. I started designpublic.com in 2003. Dropship retailer, about 500 different brands. Grew it for about 8 years, 9 years, sold it to a small private equity fund. We went from zero to $1 million in revenue in about a year and a half. And if you go to nerdmarketing.com/start here, there's an email sequence where it kind of walks you through what I think the top reasons why we did that are. The second is that it wasn't all easy. So I kind of been there, everything that Paul talked about yesterday, like we had good periods and we had bad periods. This is not our warehouse, but it was an inventoryless model, which of course, like, people start returning sofas and they don't go to the vendors. They go to your little office in San Francisco, and you don't know what to do with the sofa. So you put it in public storage across the street. Like, we had all that. But we overcame it, and it really, the way we overcame it and kind of grew the company informed my thinking about how to grow e-commerce companies. And like Andrew said, I started consulting with private equity firms, and then I became what's called an operational partner at a private equity firm. And what that is like you're their operational bench. So if they're looking at a deal, you do the diligence on that deal and help say, okay, well, if this deal went through, this is how you'd grow the company, or it's a good deal or it's a bad deal. And then if the deal goes through, you might take on an operational role at that company and help implement your strategies for like 6 months or 8 months. So I've worked on a number of e-commerce companies over the past 3 years that are in these logos here. I want to draw your attention to Karmaloop because that's kind of what I'm working on now. That was a $100 million streetwear brand that went bankrupt maybe a year ago. And we bought them out of bankruptcy in the summer. And now I'm working there as the CMO. So that's like my current project. And the idea there is, okay, this was a $100 million company now doing a third of that. Like, can we get it back to its glory days? This is what I said at the beginning. I think the most important thing you can do is to hunt whales. And you're now asking, what the hell is that? What does that mean? Is anybody actually thinking that? You all know what that means. So here's my early days, right? Overwhelmed because there's way more stuff that you think you need to focus on than you have time to focus on. Uncertain because you don't know what to focus on first. And indispensable. You know, our team at its height was like 20 people, but it's like the thing that, the dirty little secret about e-commerce, if you have a seven-figure e-commerce business, you don't really have money, enough revenue for middle management. So it's often like you, and then it's everybody else. So I found the most stressful thing is like you can't really delegate down a lot of management functions. You know, there's no intermediary level there. So in many ways, you're indispensable to growing your business. And in 2003, there was nothing on e-commerce online or online marketing for that matter. So this was kind of my marketing education in 5 Google searches. You know, how to do online marketing. I quickly discovered permission marketing and Seth Godin. Like, there's something about building up this permission asset, people who have asked to hear from you. And that quickly led to, like, how do you mine customer data? Because I knew catalog companies got sold based on the size of their list. I Googled, I spent a lot of time researching catalog marketing. And really, the principles we use now, they date back to the 50s. They come from the catalog period when people had to figure out who to market to and who was cost-effective to market to. So database marketing was where it ended. And that's kind of where I found everything made sense to me. And I read a lot of the books here on database marketing, which were written in the 60s, but they really tell you how to grow your customer asset in your company. And there were 2 key takeaways from this world of database marketing. The first is this idea of customer heterogeneity, right? Not homogenous. Like basically your customers aren't all the same. They're not created equal. If you had to stack up all your customers, and you probably all know this, like anybody who's been in business over, maybe 6 months, you've got your minnows, like your small ones who order once, they order like a small AOV product and they never come back, or maybe they return it, they take up customer service time. You've got your whales who are come back again and again, will buy at full price, super high lifetime value, and then the fish is kind of everything else. So the first insight was that your customers aren't all the same, and to start thinking about them is like, okay, is this a whale or is this a minnow? And you see, draw your attention here to the first purchase AOV column. Like, they've got their whale customers spend on average $13,000 on their first purchase, and the minnows spend $37, right? And then you look at like their total spend for the year, like how many times they buy. And this is, my speaker notes say do voices here, so like, I'm a whale. I just got my bonus from Goldman Sachs. I'm buying a suit versus like, I need to go to the beach. I want to get a little swimsuit to go to the beach. So whales, this is like 9:30, no jokes. No jokes are going over. This is from Karmaloop. Like the same phenomenon here. Like this is a period a couple months ago. Like you see 1% of the sessions, I created this whale segment, which really was nothing. It was just 2 orders in the past 90 days versus 1. 1% of the sessions driving 43% of their revenue. This is what happens in digital. Like you, almost every business here has this. If you're selling through Amazon, a lot of times you don't see it because you don't see your customer data. But if you're going direct to consumer through your own site, you will see this. You can create segments in Google Analytics. And here is just a simple segment I created, which is everybody who bought twice. If you are looking at creating a whale segment for your own business, do something like, okay, people who bought twice what your AOV is, you know, we call it whales, or maybe bought twice in the past or three times in the past 90 days. You know your business better than I do, so it's going to be different business per business. But again, you can go down and pull out the users, and you see in this case, the number of whales versus the total number is so small. And then the next thing I'm going to show you is just, you know, their impact, which in this is Karmaloop's case, is something like, you know, 1/3 of the sales are coming from those customers. So good customers are good. So what, right? Like, who cares? There are good customers and bad customers. Well, this is the second insight from database marketing. And it's that often the acquisition cost for a whale is the same as a minnow. And it's not always the case. It's not going to always be the case forever, but it's true enough that it's going to happen at times, and you can act on that. And if you spend a dollar to bring in the guy who spends $13,000 or the guy who spends $37, you know, the choice is clear on who you want to spend money acquiring. And think about this retailer. If they want another $50 million in revenue, and they had their same customer mix, they need to acquire another, you know, 100,000 customers. But if they only caught minnows based on that really small, on the really small AOV, like, they need to get 300,000. But if they went for the whales, they only have to get 9,000. Nobody likes the voices. So yeah, this is not only cheaper to do this, but, like, think of the mental stress and, like, I got to go out and get 250,000 customers now versus 9,000. And they all hang out in different places. Like, this is so much just easier, right? It's part of, like, making the getting out of tactical maneuver hell. In that demo, which I will write up an email and forward to you so you can play around with it, I have you do this for your business. So you figure out who the whales are, who the minnows are, and I show you that if you want to double your business, like, it's vastly cheaper to focus on the whales instead of the minnows. Quick recap thus far. Andrew asked me to do recaps. Customers are different, whales are better than minnows, and grow the whales. So easy enough, right? Now we're going to talk about how to grow the whales. And there are three ways, I think, I like to put them in three buckets, three different strategies you can use. First, you just acquire more of them. Like, you just go out and get them. Let's call that whale hunting or fishing. It's what you do in water instead of hunting. There's retention. There's, okay, I'm going to keep the whales around longer. And we're going to call that whale herding. And then there's development. Development is, can you turn a minnow into a whale? And we will call that whale GMOs, because I have no better. The analogy just totally breaks down at that point. But focusing on acquisition first, I'm going to walk through all three of these. When you think about acquiring more whales, you should look for, you should basically do pattern detection. And you throw up any marketing source. So say this is like Google AdWords and this is Facebook ads maybe. And you'll see that, wow, you know, the Facebook ads actually are driving proportionately more whales than Google. So it's a better channel for bringing those guys in. And it's never going to be totally black and white. It's usually something more like this. But it's more, I say source A and source B. It could be Google, Facebook. It could also be this ad group, ad group one, ad group two, and you could even get down to the key. If you're good at tracking LTV, lifetime value, you could get down to the keyword level. The keyword A brings in, like, just crappy customers, and keyword B brings in really good customers. That's more advanced than you probably need to do at this point, but what I want to show you here is that you export, you know, the source medium report in Google Analytics? It shows all your acquisition channels, and what I was going to show you here is you go into your source medium report in Google Analytics, and it's really going to show you, you export that from Google Analytics, you know, you create your segment basically for your whales and then your all sessions, you export it. Google Analytics lets you export into a Google Sheet, and you can basically see all your, you know, everything here is from Google Analytics. It might look different because it's in a sheet, but you create a column towards the end where, boom, this is the percentage of sessions from on your site that come in through that acquisition source, and the percentage of whales that come in from that acquisition source. Does everybody understand that? So, for example, Google organic traffic, this many sessions came in over the time period versus this many that were just whales came in. If whales came in through every acquisition channel at the same amount as your average traffic, you would expect this last column, which is percentage, to basically be the same. If, you know, 50% of overall traffic came direct, then 50% of my whales should come in direct. If 8% of all my traffic came in through paid search, then 8% of my whales should come in through paid search, like that kind of thing. But what you're looking for is this. You know, if you look at paid search, wow, only 9% of my overall traffic came in through paid search, but 22% of my whales came in through paid search. So that's starting to tell me, for this retailer, like paid search is driving much better traffic for me. And if I have dollars to spend, I'm going to put it towards paid search. This is just a percentage of the users or the sessions to the total that come in. I've completely butchered that demo. Let's chalk that up to a loss. And I will write a blog post about the demo. This is all answering the question, like that Monday morning question, you get in the office, you make your coffee, and where am I going to spend? What am I going to do today? Like, what? I have one more dollar to spend, where am I going to spend it? Or I'm looking at the tactical maneuver hell of every like hack in the book. Where do I start? For that last retailer, it was on paid search. Okay, this is the campaign that's driving disproportionately more good customers than bad customers, right? So let's figure out why. Let's put money there. Let's, you know, put effort there. That's what that means. Here's another way to break it down. This was for another big men's apparel retailer. You really see here that here's your main search channel, you know, I mean your main acquisition channels, direct, branded, unbranded, display, email, whatever. The whales, like, disproportionately being driven by direct and by branded search unpaid versus the minnows who are just being driven by social. So that tells me as the guy who runs the company or runs marketing, where do I want to put my effort? In social or email, or like how do I want to decide like what this company is going to be about? You know, what am I going to prioritize? One thing you could start doing, I think is really important to do. It's the first thing when I do coaching or in a mastermind we have, the first thing we do is to log attribution info with each order. So by default, you know, Shopify or Magento, like they just start logging your orders. But if you could get a developer to kind of log the marketing attribution info, like what campaign am I going to attribute this guy to or this woman? Is this order due to search? Is this order due to email? Just start logging that, because that allows you then to go back later on and do this kind of analysis I'm talking about here, where you just could say, okay, show me everybody who ordered over $1,000 and let's look at how they were acquired versus everybody who ordered $50 or less and how they were acquired. So just, if you haven't already, I would encourage you to start figuring out how to log your attribution info. Or, you know, if you got the money, there are plenty of SaaS apps that do that now, Castora, Kissmetrics. I like Klaviyo, which is an email software. It does it automatically for you and allows you to build campaigns off it. Or you could just do it yourself and hire a developer to do that. So that's acquisition. Moving on to retention. So the idea here is, this is retention in one graph. This is called the customer lifecycle, and it represents how customers interact with a company, a product, anything digital, really. And if frequency is on the y-axis here and time is on the x-axis, what this means is, like, I find this brand, I'm wearing it now, and I start buying it more and more and more. My frequency goes up until I'm buying a lot of, and then, you know, my wife starts calling BS, and I just start, like, it, you know, people make fun of me or whatever, and I stop ordering, and that, you know, and then I'm no longer a customer. And this is, you know, maybe in retail it happens over 6 months, Like, think about your own interaction with brands. And it's not just brands. It could be with an email newsletter. Like, I'm really into this guy, or a website. I really like this blog. I'm going to read it more and more and more. And now I'm onto something else. I get burned out. So this is just called a life cycle. It's common in digital. Like, it's how people interact, even subscription products. You know, the life cycle might go over years, but there's a period where you're into it, and then you're not into it. Or with a SaaS product, there's a period where you're logging in and using it a lot, and then you're not. The idea with retention is you're trying to do the pink arrows, right? You're trying to either keep me buying longer from your brand after I would already have been burned out, or increase the frequency. So in the same amount of time, can you get me to buy a lot more than I would otherwise have bought? These are just a couple ways to improve retention: the right merchandise, right shopping experience, and right promotions. Let's talk about merchandise and shopping experience first. So on this chart, in this last column, like, very different merchandise or products are driving both customers, right? Like, this guy wants the suit, and this guy wants the swimsuit. So that informs my merchandising decisions. And you could go even farther and break it down by customer segment. And you see here, like, look at blazers. The minnows, they barely buy blazers at all, whereas the whales buy blazers. Like, blazers are, to extend the analogy, a harpoon product. A harpoon product is one that you want to feature to bring in more whales. Like, you've all got them. You probably don't know what they are unless you've done this kind of analysis, but you know that the call to action here is, like, you want to feature your harpoons. And I keep running into, on the streets of New York, I keep running into e-commerce retailers who feature high converting products. Like, this one, the swimsuits convert. Let's put them on the homepage. We'll get a lot of orders. But they don't think through, you know, you're actually attracting, like, tons and tons of really crappy customers. Like, you sold 200, great. You know, they're going to return it. They're going to call your 1-800 number. Like, get them off the homepage. I know it looks good because you're getting a lot of sales, but you want to feature the harpoons, or at least work them into the mix. Like, if it's the blazer and, like, your whale customer buys the blazer, you really want to highlight the blazers. Like, you don't see in guide shops, you don't see the swimsuits out front. You know, you see the suits. That's your homepage. So that's a little bit about merchandise and shopping experience. Right promotions is a great way to also approach retention. And this is where you get to sort of the tagline of my presentation here. But what's the single highest ROI thing retailers can do that only 1% are doing? Manny. Manny, because he took my course. Is the only... Yes. Win-back campaigns. See? Manny knows win-back campaigns. After I... That's right. I should have told you I was going to call on you. But yeah, so the idea is, like, the campaigns you send right here. This guy, you know, this customer is no longer is starting to no longer buy from me. Let's win him back. That's what a win back campaign is about. And you know, in e-commerce lore, it's like, oh, you've got to start with conversion rates. Like, conversion rate's the best place to start. You guys hear that lore? Like, I would argue that retention is better, even better than conversion rates, like specifically a win-back campaign. Is anybody doing these? All right, it's more than 1% here, which is great. This is how I made $250,000 in an afternoon. It wasn't actually made in that afternoon, but I set up the system to do it. This is how you should do it. You could do it tonight. You look at your orders and you figure out what's the fancy name is the intra-purchase latency. It basically means, like, how many days between a first and a second purchase, or a third and a fourth purchase. It's funny, the first time you do it, you'll see that people buy, like, on a schedule. Like, this guy buys, you know, you sell beard stuff, he buys, like, the lubricant or whatever on day one, you know. Is there beard lube? Is that... I would lubricate my beard, yeah. You know, 30 days later, he buys the next beard thing, right? In another 30 days, he buys the next beard thing. For my business, it was, okay, this... You know, the woman buys the baby bedding, and 30 days later, it's like the crib. And it just was fairly predictable. And it's not perfect, but if you graph it out, you'll see there's enough commonality there. And you can do what's called a histogram in Excel, and you find out these are months. Okay, so 50% of my customers who buy twice have done so within 1 month. And another 20% have done so within 2 months. So if we just draw like an arbitrary line right here, you say like, okay, 90% of the customers who've already bought twice have bought. Yeah, this is just second purchase. This says between second and third, but I would do it between first and second to start. So most of the customers who would have bought twice have bought by month three in this case. You can wing it if you don't want to do this analysis. Just choose, 30 days, 60 days, something like that, which you think intuitively makes sense. But the idea here is you want to build this a tripwire promotion. So if I'm thinking 90% of the people who would buy from me twice, like my multis, my whales, have bought within 60 days, then let's start the promotions after that 60 days. Because if I start the promotions before, I'm still giving away margin dollars to people who would have bought anyway. Does that make sense? So at 60 days, maybe if they get to that 60-day tripwire and they have not ordered again, they're going to get 10% off. Oh, and it didn't work. They still haven't bought. Let's send them, at 90 days, we'll send them 15% off. And man, this customer's got all the way to 120 days. Let's send them 20% off. So the number is going to be different for your business, but the basic principle is use a promotion ladder. It's called, you stack your promotions. You make them better and better with the customer's increasing likeliness that they won't come back. I was going to show you the original calculations from the first time I did this at Design Public and just kind of show you the ROI you can achieve. So this is like here's my 10% test. Here's my 15% test. And I pull in like the number of customers I sent it to, and I computed the number of the gross margin and the profit and how much I actually had to give away in that 10% margin dollars. But, this had a 500% return. And if I annualize that return, it's a 6,000% return, which means over a year I spend a dollar on a win-back campaign and I made $60 back. Like that, I don't know where you get a better return in marketing than that. But this is Andrew's favorite slide. This is what happens when you do that. You're psyched, like money's raining. My wife drew my attention to the fact. She's like, those are only dollar bills. It's like 20 bucks. I'm like, I know, but they'll get the point. It's like continuously raining 20s on me. So, if you're going to start with a win-back campaign, think of promo ladders as a great way to get over subsidy costs. Subsidy costs is the money you would have to spend to incentivize something that the customer is going to do anyway. I'm in checkout. I'm ready to buy. I got my card out. The worst thing you can do is say like, all right, 20% off. I'm like, great. I would have spent full retail, but I'll spend another 20. So that's called a subsidy cost. The way you get around that is a promo ladder. Like just increase your promos with time. You can test them using something like Klaviyo. It's great for this. Just build these things out, test them, let them run, and you'll be pleasantly surprised with the results. So that's acquisition, retention, development, whale GMOs. Has anybody here heard of bras? Bras are kind of a fascinating product for a number of reasons. This is a women's apparel retailer. What we figured out for was that bras were kind of this key product where women would buy a lot of low-priced items, and then if they bought the bra, then they would start buying the dresses and the knits and like high-priced items. So it, in many ways, was this bridge product from a minnow to a whale. Basically, the implication was like, start featuring bras on the site. Like, we put it in the newsletter, we put it on the homepage, and it served its purpose. It turned an increasing number of those minnows into the whale buyers. So they, they experienced, for whatever reason, I think it was like the fit of the bra, like they really liked the bra product. And because of that, they developed such trust in this retailer or liked for the retailer that they were more likely to buy the dress. One thing I would note, this is a very graphic. Graphic. It's 9:30. I was having fun last night. Like, there's this saying in database marketing that good customers are born, not bred. And what that means is, like, a whale is usually a whale. They're born that way. And a bad customer is a bad customer, and they're born that way. So I would recommend don't spend too much time trying to create good customers from your bad customers. It's much easier to just acquire more of the goods or retain more of the goods. But that third category, that like the GMO category, probably not worth your time. So here's my recap. All customers are different. The whales are better than the minnows. Grow the whales. Easy. Grow them through acquisition. So go into, use the very convoluted demo I did, and go into your Google Analytics. You're going to be able to see, you know, which campaigns are driving whales versus which are driving minnows. Put money behind the ones that are driving the whales. Retain them. Best way to do that is a win-back campaign. Develop whales. Probably not worth your time. And I want to leave you with just this thought. So mathematically, there are only three ways to grow a retailer, right? Increase your AOV, increase frequency, or the number of times somebody buys, and then increase your traffic. And again, I would frequently like put every marketing tactic into one of these buckets, or put it into the bucket of like SEO, SEM, you know, AdWords hack, whatever. And I find that that was just so paralyzing. What I liked about this customer analysis approach is it's overarching, it's strategy, it's not tactics, and it answers this. If you pull in more whales, you're gonna get, whales have a higher AOV. They also have a higher F, and so you want to attract more of them. Like, just pulling in more whales solves so many of your problems across all these different channels. You should look at things through that lens. It's the 80-20 rule as it's applied to marketing. And I hope if you use that approach, you could do what I did and go from this warehouse that was not mine but looks something similar to how our office was to this, you know, where you're traveling the world, you know, and you have time and energy and fun to devote with your family. This is my daughter strapped to my chest and I'm carrying like a car seat. My wife is just like sipping an espresso, like looking. Yeah. That's what I do with my time now. That's all I have to talk about today. This is my new blog, nerdmarketing.com, where I think I've been blogging at Drew Sinaki, just kind of figuring out what I want to do and what I want to focus on in e-commerce. And the thing that really I'm the most passionate about is customer analysis and data and using data and processes to improve marketing. So I thought this brand name was a little bit more apropos than drewsinaki.com.
That's going to do it for this week. If you enjoyed the episode, make sure to check out the E-Commerce Fuel private forum, a vetted community exclusively for 6- and 7-figure store owners. With over 600 experienced members and thousands of monthly comments, it's the best place online to connect with and learn from other successful store owners to help you grow your business. To learn more and apply, visit ecommercefuel.com/forum. Thanks so much for listening, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again next Friday.